We began last week with the confident and secure in Christ. You know, that being your confidence and security in Christ. And I've had feedback from this, by the way, this last week's message, which I appreciate. Just about the forgiveness. I mean, I won't try to, certainly not going to reiterate and do all that, but this is a part two. And so if you weren't here for part one, I've never liked that anywhere, to go somewhere and they're saying, okay, now this is, you know, the second part of that message, and you're thinking, well, I won't understand this. I didn't get the first part. The first part of this message was being confident and secure in Christ, and that God completely forgives you and he makes you pleasing to himself. You can't please God any other way. He makes you pleasing to himself. And then we talked, and if you weren't here, we looked at that Isaiah passage in 53, and we looked at some other passages, and then Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody mark that down. If you didn't catch it last week, catch it this week. There is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned. And this won't be up here because I'm just kind of going back over, doing a little quick review. So if you weren't here, you'll get everything. And we just talked about the modern view of forgiveness, and today's modern view of forgiveness, just take eraser and wipe it off the chalkboard, off the book. God doesn't do it that way. He says, I will not just erase your sins, I'll wash them away. And that has to be done through the blood of Jesus. So the world says, okay, I'll just mark it off. God says, I will wash it off, therefore there's no remnants of it, and I have nothing to remember, so I will forget it. And I was reminded last week before I left here that with that, God says he'll remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. And that's how he does that. There's not some stain left on a chalkboard, that some little impression there of what your sin was. You remember how teachers used to erase things and on a chalkboard, if you're a teacher, you know what I mean? And then, but you could still see the little imprint of the chalk there. Not with God. He washes it completely clean. And he casts your sins into the depths of the sea and says, I'll remember them no more. I want to say something to you with that as we move on to today's message. And this, that you're completely forgiven and pleasing to God. Listen, when God says he'll remember your sins no more, that's exactly what he means. So quit reminding him. If you've confessed your sins, how many times? He said, I forgive you if you confess your sins. Look at in 1 John, it says, if you confess your sins, but to God, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, but listen to this, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's why I tell everybody, read 1 John. Always go back over the 1 John. And if you confess your sins, God's faithful and just to forgive you, but he does something else. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He wipes it all away. So we're standing before him, and he says, there's nothing you can do to please me. Our righteousness, the Lord says, is as filthy rags. But he said, you please me by putting your faith in my son, Jesus Christ, and letting me, in my way, God's way, cleanse you with my blood. And that makes you completely forgiven, and that makes you fully pleasing. And you don't have to crawl on your knees. I was reading a book back in, I was studying, I say studying, I like reading about the old Napoleon time, Napoleonic era in Britain and France and Spain, Portugal. It was a world war. America even got in on this thing. All these forces back in those days, but there was a convent. And the ladies went there once a year, and they had to walk on their knees across this hard paved area, and they had to come to this statue of a particular saint. It's strange, you know. And so they had to go through torturing themselves, but they did it because they wanted to have children. And the belief was there was a hole in this. If they stuck their tongue through the hole and could touch the back of that opening, they would become pregnant that year. And they really believed all this. And they'd come by the hundreds and hundreds, On one special day, they'd stand in line to get on their knees and go across there to do that. And people have believed for centuries, and there have been priests back in the old days cut themselves. Remember, even the false priest back in Elijah's day, and they were cutting themselves to make their gods pleased with them. Friends, let me say something to you. There's already been enough cutting. We look at that and say, how could anybody do that? Well, one did, but he didn't do it to himself. But there was one cut to pieces for us. And we forget, you know, we think about all that. There's one who was cut to shreds, and that was Jesus. They beat him with they whipped him with the cat and nine tails sword. That bits of lead and bone in the end of it. It stripped him. So there's one been already tortured. There's one bled enough. And his blood is sufficient, and his torture is sufficient. So why do you need to, and literally, think about this, why do you emotionally keep crawling on your knees over something that God has cleansed with his blood? How long are you going to torture yourself? Okay, so you had an affair. So you had a divorce. You had an abortion. You cheated someone. You stabbed someone in the back. Whatever. Okay, it's horrible. It's bad. I'm not making light of it. But you've brought it to God. And how long are you going to keep crawling on your knees and trying to find the back part of the hole to finally find a place where your life's okay again? You'll never find it. When all the time God is saying, whatever you've done, there's forgiveness. When you repent of your sins, you ask me to forgive, I forgive them. That makes you pleasing to me. You accept it by faith that if you confess your sins, you repent of those things, no matter what it is, I forgive you. Even divorce. There's many a denomination. Not as bad today as it used to be. You could commit murder and still be on any board or committee, but if you had a divorce, you were excluded from the whole place. You ever been in one of those churches? You could cheat, rob banks, do whatever it is. But oh, if you, that was the mortal, the sin for eternity. And it's like, you know, and I used to see people on these boards and certain things and committees. You know, and they were doing things in their business. They were doing things in their personal lives and then judging everybody else. You know, and they made the divorce the big thing, the unforgivable. Friends, no matter what it is, no matter what your sins, no matter what you've been through, listen to me. God's grace is sufficient, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And there's going to be a place where you have to start crawling on your knees and trying to find the magic formula. And you just accept it by faith. By faith. They okay? Okay. Good. Is everybody listening? When you're going to quit doing it to yourself, quit torturing yourself. That's what we're talking about. And being completely, God forgives you. And he makes you pleasing to himself. And it's not because you're going cut yourself or bleed for him and go on your knees somewhere. It's because you trust him that what he says, he absolutely does. So we move today, and we covered this pretty heavy, so I'm not trying to go in depth again, but we need to know it. We need to hear this. And so we're moving today in this second part, and we never finished this next point, is that God totally accepts you. He totally accepts you. Not only does he forgive you and declare you pleasing to himself because of your faith in Christ and you're just letting it go, but he totally accepts you. Why do you feel like such a reject? And you say, I don't, but others do. There's people here dead, and there's people everywhere. I get calls from them. I meet with them. And they feel like no matter what they do, God is not going to accept them. And I get this argument a lot. Yes, God forgives me of my sins. But there's no way. And it's like, stop already. You're listening to people. Somebody told you that. Somebody put that in your head. Yeah, I forgive you, but there's no way I'm ever going to. Well, God's not that way. Let's read Colossians here. You know, God totally accepts you. This is in the New Living Translation. I moved from the New American Standard I used last week. I'm going to NLT this week, New Living Translation. Because I just like the way this reads in Colossians. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Everybody get that? You couldn't make it. You were separated because of that junk. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Hear that? Through Christ, he brings you, God brings you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless and stand before him without a single fault. And I know we hit this a little bit last week and then we had to finish up. But is that hard to fathom? That with all of the stuff in your life, that because of your faith in Christ and the blood of Jesus and your forgiveness and you're pleasing, now he accepts you. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see a single fault. Work with kids for a while, raise a kid. You know? You're so mad at them, you want to stuff them in the toilet 1 minute. And then the next, what? You just can't love them enough. And they can do the meanest things. They lie their little, you know, their tails off to you. You know, we talked a little bit about kids and lying. We grow up lying. I'm probably, if you ask my sister, she's supposed to be here next week. She was supposed to be here today, but they had to wait a week. You just ask her and say, did your brother ever lie growing up? She'll say, no, he's the only perfect kid that ever lived. He never told a lie. He was better than George Washington. Cherry trees grew everywhere, you know? She would say to you, I don't know how God lets him do what he's doing, the lies he told when he's growing up. You know? And I was never guilty of anything, were you? My sister did it. Anybody ever do that? Always somebody else's fault? Yeah. Except your brother? Yeah. Ask her about the Coke bottle. She'll tell you. I lied on her and made her mad. And she picked up a Coke bottle and threw it and hit me in the back of the head. We were nice, kind children growing up. The point is this. We've all lied. We've all said things. You might have said something on the way to church this morning. Probably will going home. And we're going to do things. And a lot of us, we've told lies. We call them little white lies. We say, well, I just didn't want to hurt their feelings. We all done that, right? And I didn't want to hurt their feelings. And marriage. And does anybody know a marriage where once in a while you don't fudge the truth? I'm not promoting it. I'm saying there's just some things you ought not say. And you know, and we all know the stuff. You know, is this? Do I look too big in this outfit, guys? You want to live to see tomorrow? You know, and so you know, it's like, and ladies, you shouldn't do that to us. Don't put us on the spot like that because we're going to lie. And then we have to confess that to God. Because any man knows that if he would like to see, have a future, what are you going to do? Well, honey, you know, now that you ask, and it's like, you that's it. You're done. You're dead. So no matter what it is, it's, oh, you look beautiful in that. And you're thinking, I'm going to go kill the person that sold that to her. But no, you don't say that. But anyway, the point then. Think of how many times we say things, we cover up things. We do it in the sake of humanity, the sake of people's feelings. But when you just get right down to it, it is a sin, isn't it? We don't make excuses for it. We just know it happens and we do it. And yet the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And we just read that he receives us to himself. He does all this even in spite of the stuff we do. I mean, to his physical body as a result, he brings us into his own presence and blameless and standing for him without a single fault. Holy and blameless, how can that be? Because it's God and it's a God thing. And God declares you holy because of your faith in Christ. He declares you blameless because you've confessed your sins, you repent of them. And yet in ourselves, we're not blameless. But your child can lie to you. Your child can do the dumbest things. You can be so mad at them when they get a little older. You have to go maybe pull them out of jail or whatever it is you got to do. And you're just furious. But then there's something in your heart that you just can't hold it against your own kid. You can hold it against somebody else's kid, but not your own. And if we as people can do that, what do you think God can do? How many of you, the kids growing up, ever blamed the other kids when deep down you knew it was your kid that caused it? But you just couldn't accept that your kid caused it. Well, look at God. He looks at you and he'll tell you, you caused it. But because I'm your father, through your faith in Jesus Christ, I don't hold this against you. I just love you anyway, because you're mine. I love you because you belong to me. That's what God says. Isn't this fantastic stuff? You don't have to earn a blasted thing. He wants you to go out there and have good works, but you do it because of what he's doing for you and through you. So maybe just a few notes and we'll move on, because we covered some things. With God's acceptance, listen, you don't ever have to worry about rejection. You ever think about that? People reject us all the time. I've had people say to me, we've had people visit here and say, Pastor, thank you for that message, but I just don't like your style. You know, I don't like the format, whatever, and it's like, but is that rejection in a sense? Could I take it? Yeah. And in the past, you know, I used to hear, we don't like your hair. Really, seriously, your clothes. All that kind of stuff. And that used to bother me to no end. And then it's like, forget it. There's going to be rejection. Friends, listen to me. You can give the literal shirt off your back to someone and they'll still reject you. They just will. Why don't you quit trying to earn their approval? I mentioned that last week and go on. And yet when you come to God, he gave the shirt off his back. It was cut off of his back. It was beaten off of him. But he gave it, didn't he? For all of us. You don't have to fear God's rejection. And you never have to be good enough for God to accept you. If that's the case, I wouldn't be here. I'm out of here. I'm not good enough. Never will be good enough. Nobody's good enough. There's some who'd like for you to think they're good enough out there in life, but they're not. Your faith in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection, gives you total acceptance by the Lord. Now listen, God worked on me about this, and I had to redo this message. Parts of it. And I want to give you this on acceptance, because I was thinking, how do I take this acceptance? How do I appropriate it into my life where I really feel it? Because deep down, be honest with yourself here this morning, how many of you truly, deep down, feel accepted? Is there that little voice in there saying, maybe, but not quite? And it works on us. And I thought, how do you overcome this? How do you take into yourself his acceptance, his love, his forgiveness? It's one thing to hear it. How does it happen? How do I move it from being a mental thing to being in my life? And so I'm just made these little notes here, and I give them to you real quick. You have to stand before God in prayer. And because I was asking, how do I, Tony, become a living, breathing, spirit-filled person in the manner that's being brought here in this message today, and that you heard last week and you're hearing today. How do you really become where you know you're blameless before God? You're not blameless on this earth, but you know that He looks at you that way, and you know you're fully accepted, and you know you're loved, and you know all these things, and you know you're forgiven. How do you live that in peace? You see what I'm saying? We know it in our heads. We hear this message and we go out and we go right back to the same lifestyle. What can change us? What can make this alive in us? You have to stand before God in prayer and in confession. You have to confess that you doubt Him. You see, it's more than confessing sins. I have to confess that I doubt You, God. I have trouble with You, Lord. I don't understand You, and I want to confess it all. I have to confess to God not only that I've committed some sin or thought some sin, but I have to confess to Him that I'm really weak and I just don't get You at times. And in many places, in many churches with many Christians, they won't come clean with God and say, I don't understand You. I don't understand why it's not fair out here in this world. Things happen to you. Some of you have been through some really terrible things, and you can stand there and say, what is this? And if you want to identify where I'm at, yes, I've had those times, especially in the past year and a half, with a bunch of this junk I had to go through. And then I look at people who are absolutely hate God, cuss His name all the time, and they just keep on going. You ever worry about that? Does it ever frustrate you? Say, why don't you give them a tumor? You say, that's not Christian. No, but it's human. You ever feel like, how come there's a lot of these people, they just don't keep allowing, they just keep doing evil and hurting people? And we just, you know, there's a guy that I just really appreciate and I've looked up to all my life. I really have, for his ministry in the Lord. And he passed away this week, Charles Stanley. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the guy I've hung on to over the years that just never wavered. I know, it's like, and God, there's some others out there that, why don't you kill those jerks? You ever feel that way? Well, we need to come clean with those feelings. It doesn't mean they're right. It just means we come clean and say, God, I just, the way I feel right now. That gives Him a lot to work with because I'm emptying out my heart. If I don't dump my heart out, I don't have any room left to get Him in. If I go around mad all the time, how am I going to get glad, right? How's the joy of the Lord going to be in my heart when I have nothing but anger and frustration? And yes, I do get to comparing life, you know, things, the unfairness of life. Just turn on your news. Look at, anyway, you know what I mean. And look at all of them. They just keep on going. Then you have good people. So to appropriate this, to get it really effective in my life, all this being that God says about us, then I have to come to Him in prayer and I need to confess everything, all of it. And one of the things that people fail to confess is their own humanity, their own struggles with life. I confess, God, that I'm frustrated with You. I'm confused. I don't get it. And when you get to that place in life, and then you become real, and in realness you find, in your realness, you find your real God. You find how real God is. He's not this imaginary fake thing. He's not this church made up image thing. See, we have a church image, a denominational image, an institutional religious image of God. And that He's this way and this way and that way. Listen, God is every way. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We picture Him as the old man with the long beard, and He's far from it. That's why He can be everywhere all the time. And so when I become real in my prayer, in my confession, in my repentance, I find a real God who's really understanding. and who's really capable of transforming. You see, listen, there's a difference between salvation and transformation. You can ask Jesus into your heart, and you get baptized, do all that, but there is a transforming process that must take place, and that's where the fruit bearing comes from. And most people just want the fire insurance of salvation. And transformation comes from getting real with my struggles, getting real with my sins, getting real that I'm just a person desperately in need. And so prone to mess up. Everybody follow me here? And when I get that real with God, then I find how real He is. He's a real God. You've got to stand before Him and listen to this. You stand before God in submission to Him, in yielding and giving of yourself, your earthly, fleshly self. You give that to His holiness, to His blamelessness. You see that? That's where it comes in. You're holy and blameless before God. Then I yield my unholy self and I receive holiness. I receive the self. I yield myself, the self that is really to be blamed because I'm guilty. And I yield that, and in place of that, I confess it. I give it to Him. And in place of it, I'm given what? Blamelessness. I confess my faults, and what do I get? Faultlessness. Because He said, you've come clean, kid. You've become real. You brought it all out here to me. And in place of what you're giving me, I give you perfection. And He's in the process of perfecting us all the time as we do this on a regular basis. Everybody with me? I know we're plunging deep. This is deep. We're in the deep walk stuff here this morning. But a deep walk with God requires a deep openness from my own heart. And the deeper I go with God and yielding my life, submitting my life to Him, the deeper walk I have in holiness and blamelessness and acceptance. I can't stay all day, so I gotta go. You said, thank God, we don't want to stay all day, so let's move on. You can accept yourself in time. You will, as God accepts you. And when you do that, guess what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to accept others as God accepts others. How in the world can I accept you if I don't accept me? No wonder we have so many troubles in homes, families, relationships. Troubled people have trouble with other people. You're going to have to accept that this is the way God sees you, and then look at other people and don't be so hard on them and accept Him the same way. So now let's look at this. I want you to know, God wants you to know, you're deeply, deeply loved by the Lord. God fully loves you. Let's put it that way. That's the point. God fully loves you in spite of yourself. 1 John 4, begin verse 9. God showed, listen to this, God showed how much He loves us by sending His one and only Son into the world, that we might have eternal life through Him. And this is real love. This is real love. He says, not that we loved God, but He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And He says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. And no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. So what is He saying? God loves you so much, He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, just for you. You didn't ask for Him. You didn't do anything to deserve Him. But Jesus comes on the scene, so I'm going to give myself anyway. Because you're my kids. And I'm willing to die for my children, my brothers and sisters. I'll die for you. That was God in the flesh saying, that's how much I care for my creation, you and me. You never have to fear the wrath and anger of God. Why? Jesus took it on Himself. That's love. And there's something else you never have to fear. And the love of Christ. You ready for this? You'll never have to fear when it comes to the love of God that God will make fun of you, or he'll beat up on you, or he'll criticize you, and you don't have to fear that he's going to mock you, and you don't have to fear he's going to go away from you. He's the only place and the only source I can turn to where I know I'm never going to be criticized by him, and I don't have to fear that he's going to make fun of me. There's just nothing worse in all the world than somebody making fun of somebody else in public, is there? That used to be my most horrible, devastating thing to face, was somebody making fun of me in public. Now, I've mentioned this, a lot of you newer here. There was a time in my life I couldn't look up at your face. Not one person's face. I stared down. I'd been so hurt, so beat up in life, growing up. Especially a woman, I couldn't look in her face. I've mentioned this before. A grown woman come up to me, I was terrified, afraid she's going to hit me. Excuse me. Afraid she's going to hurt me. It took the grace of God working through people. A fine professor at Dallas Baptist. So I won't reiterate all that. Anybody want to share it with you in private sometime if you want to visit. But God took that kid that couldn't look in somebody's eyes for fear of being hurt, fear of being rejected. And it was the fear of anybody making fun of me. You ever had that? Any of you? Maybe you have it now. You're just petrified of doing speaking or doing something in public because, God, what if I fail or they make fun of me? Oh, I hated that. And then now look what I do. I've done it so long. If people reject me now, make fun of me, it's like, sorry. That's the only answer. That's not proper grammar, but it's the only thing I have. But there, it took a lot of long years and hard and stressful things to finally come clean with God. And I had to say to God, and I mean it, God, I hate being made fun of. I hate being mocked. God, I hate being laughed at in public. But when you get there and you're telling him that stuff and you're just letting your feelings out, suddenly you're finding, you know what he kind of whispers to me when, and I still do it. I still think, God, I hate that ugly remark that was made to me. And I can't tell you how these words come, but they're just impressed on the heart, right? I don't hear some big booming voice, but it comes in my mind. And it's like, I know, and I start getting it out and kind of and lower the threshold, and then suddenly this comes into my heart, you know, and it's just the Word of God saying, "Now, God, I hate all this. I hate being publicly rebuked. I hate when they were mocking me, God." And He said, and then there suddenly you hear it in that small still voice, right? I know what it feels like. They did it to me, and Tony, once in a while, you do it to me. Once in a while, you mock me and you make fun of me. Not even knowing you did it. And when you think about it, we all do and don't even know it. We say things like, I can't believe God just allows this kind of thing. Whoa, what did you just do? See? That's just like somebody saying to you, I can't believe you. You're questioning that behavior, you're mocking, you make it. And it's like, we do it without even thinking. This isn't said to be mean or make everybody feel bad. It's to help us realize, God identifies, and He identifies with all that. And it's like, but I forgive you. Now let that go. Now, I've done this long enough now, it's like, the only answer I have. I wonder if God ever does that. You know, you say, God, yeah. Maybe that's what thunder is in heaven. That's God's. That's what He feels about that. Listen, He loves you so much, you don't have to fear. He's not going to do this. He loves you unconditionally. There's no exception. Can you handle that? We don't even know what love is anymore. Churches have lost what love is. We think it's a loving act to walk up and, you know, hand somebody a Coke or Dr. Pepper or something. And we think it's a loving act to say, okay, I forgive you. Would you die for him? Would you? You know, we put that uniform on. We're willing to die for every jerk as well as every good person in the whole United States of America. And we're willing to die so that every jerk could do every jerky thing they're going to ever say and do and have the freedom to do it and protect the Constitution. There's that, to me, is a great act of love. And God's love goes far beyond that because he's willing to die, and he did, for people who, they're the worst jerks in the world. They were gambling for his clothes. They cared nothing for him. And he's dying for them. So that one day they might believe and have the freedom that Christ comes to give, life in abundance. You ever thought about it? I got to close. This thing says close now. So let me wrap this up with this. Love's not a feeling. Love's not an emotion. Love is God through Jesus Christ living in my heart that will not let me hate anyone. I might get angry, but it will not let me hate, and it will not let me seek vengeance. You see, that's love. And if that person I don't even want to see today comes along, or God puts me in their path, God's love working in me through doing all these things we've already said to do with his forgiveness and acceptance, and his love will prepare me, you know, propel me, you, to say, what can I do for you, my enemy? Because I'm not doing this out of myself. I'm doing it out of Jesus Christ in me, my hope of glory. That's transformation. That's when it's finally got a hold of you. That's finally when it's broken your selfishness and your self-centeredness and your independent streak, and you're there. It's not weakness. It's strength. And this closing comment here, this closing point, God says you're complete. Do you feel complete? I don't feel complete. And here's back to Colossians, good book, chapter 2. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Okay? So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You ever thought what that means to you? What he just said? You have the completeness of Christ in you, and the problem is so many people don't realize it. We struggle around, and we act, and so many people act as immature Christians, and they don't realize God's given you everything you need to live this life, but you're going to have to turn loose yourself to find it. Whoever would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that is the part missing from so many Christian messages and so many of these guys out here that want to make everybody feel good. They don't tell the truth, and they don't tell people, you're going to have to come to me, Jesus said, and deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me, and then you'll have the blessings that they're saying you can have anyway, and they're lying or off. You can't get God's blessings till you become a blessing to the Lord. Amen. That hit, didn't it? You don't become a blessing until you yield. That's the blessing. It's not my works. It's when I give myself to him and say, not my will, but yours be done. That's a blessing to God. Thank you. That's the best thing to do. There's no guilt, no shame. And this acceptance, there's no hoping you're good enough, that you prayed enough, studied enough, sacrificed enough. Anybody ever get into that? Every pastor does. That's a bad thing for us. I do all the time. Did I pray enough this week? Did I study hard enough on this message? You might be saying, wish you wouldn't study quite as hard. God says we're complete when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. Now listen, you know that in your head, you know it in your emotions. Now let it get into your past, your present, your future. You're given Jesus Christ, who loves you and accepts you, and he takes all your blame and all your guilt on himself. Just because you believe in what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's the whole thing. He gives you his Holy Spirit to comfort you and encourage you, to teach you. In Christ, you're fully equipped. You have all the spiritual gifts. Just let it flow. Get out there and live. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, give in abundance. There's total power in Jesus' name to live with a victorious life. You, in Jesus' name, you can cast out demons. Go do it. Cast those things out of your head. I'll close with this. This won't be up here, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's John 10. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. That's the security you have. You got it all, friends. You got it all. Forgiveness, acceptance, love. What else do you want? Stop messing around with this thing. Let go of this junk. Turn all that blame and guilt loose, all the condemnation in your life. Let's get free of this. Your body is his temple. So get this stuff from your head and don't become a head Christian, become a heart Christian. Let him fill you. Jesus said, let me abide in you and you abide in me. I'm never going to let anybody take you out of my hand, so don't worry about it. And go out here and face life. Whatever it throws at you, our God's bigger. You do not have to understand everything for God to work miracles. Just let him work. Amen? I got to close. And I bet you're happy about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the peace and power of it, the acceptance, the forgiveness of it. Thank you, Father, for your word that loves us. We're fully pleasing, fully forgiven, fully accepted. What else do we want? And we rebuke you, Satan. You're not going to lie to us anymore. You're a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke you and we claim God's love, God's acceptance, God's authority, God's forgiveness, God's pleasure. We're holy and blameless before God. And thank you, Lord, that we are. We go forth this day, Father, and ask your grace, your power, your love, and don't let us get away from it. In Jesus' name, God's will be done. Not our will, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.